I look back over my life, I can see how love is guiding me. Even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone, but you forgave me, and you kept on blessing. This alicorn to my mind, therefore I mercy that we are not consumed, because thy compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Look back over my life, I can see how love is guiding me. Even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone, but you forgave me, and you kept on blessing. This alicorn to my mind, never I mercy that we are not consumed, because thy compassion fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. You've been, Lord, you've been so faithful. You set me free. I ain't made a way out of no way. Turn my darkness into day. You've been my joy in the time of sorrow. Oh, for my tomorrow. Peace in the time of storm. Strength when I'm weak and warm. I can never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for. I ain't lose my shackles and you set me free.
Yeah. If he's been faithful, won't you just give him glory?
You've been, Lord, you've been so faithful.
That the Lord has been faithful over you. Amen. He's been so faithful from danger seen and unseen. He's been faithful. Even though things may not thought the way it should come out the way you thought it should, but it came out the way that he thought it should. Guess what? He's been so faithful. Amen. Heard somebody say you may not have the job that you want to have, but you got a job. Amen. He's been so faithful. Amen. You may not be eating filet mignon and lobster and Crafty Crabs every night, but guess what? He's been so faithful. When I look back over my life and see the mess that I was, the fact that a holy God would save me and deliver me, he's been so faithful because of the cross. Amen. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, the third chapter. We are back here again. Amen. And I'll just try to get away and go somewhere else and go to the Old Testament and another passage. But the Lord said, no, come right back here to this passage. And so we have to be obedient, amen, to this Philippians 3:10, which is a running verse for this year in our church. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Amen. We're going to begin reading. Not going to read this whole thing. Verse 7, we're going to start there. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus, the righteousness which is of God, by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. That's the continuation of his pursuit for intimacy. That we don't get it. We never get to a place where we say we're fulfilled, we're perfectly fulfilled. We never get to a place where we say we're perfectly satisfied in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? But it's a continuum. It's a continuation that you have through the word of God. So he says, not but I follow after. All right, let me read that again. Verse 12. Not that I had already attained, either were perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Amen? And what we want to talk about this morning, amen, we just want to talk about pursuit of a deeper intimacy. Pursuit of deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. Or you can put deeper relationship. I like the word intimacy. Amen? Everybody using relationship. But it's even deeper than a relationship. It's an intimate relationship. The pursuit of a deeper, intimate relationship. The cross, our means. Amen? The cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. The cross, our means. Pursuit of a deeper, intimate relationship. The cross, our means. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you. We worship you. We reverence you and adore you. Father God, we pray, oh God, that you have your way in this place and even in our hearts. God, that your presence, that you will saturate this place and our hearts with your presence, with your glory, with your conviction, oh God, even to the searching of our hearts. God, that we might surrender our all to you. God, we pray, oh God, that your word speaks to somebody this morning. Even as you're already dealing with my heart, may the continuation of the crucifixion of this flesh continue. God, we thank you. Jesus, we bless you and we praise you. God, we pray for deliverance in this place. We pray for salvation in this place. We pray, oh God, that we won't go out of here the same way we came in. But we pray that if there's something said or done through this word, God, that we will grab hold, that we will lay hold, that we will take it back, that this word may be applied even to our very lives. God, we love you and we bless you. Crucify my flesh. Help me, oh God, not to go on tangents. Help me, oh God, not to get emotional or do what I think I need to do. But help me, oh God, to stick to your word, that you will crucify me, oh God, that you will speak through me. I am your vessel. You are the potter and we are the clay. It's not by our power, it's not by my might, but moved by your spirit, saith the Lord. For it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Pursuit, deeper intimacy, the cross. Our means. Amen. And we thank God for last week. We were here and we are back here again, and we really never fully finished what God was speaking even on last week. And we see here over and over again in so many different ways, we see Paul's pursuit for just a greater love affair. A greater and a deeper intimacy, a greater, and you ever go through life, and even right now, even what we're going through, even coming through this pandemic, and there's something missing, right? Many of our lives, there's something missing And it's hard for us to put our finger on it. It's hard for us to put our finger on it because we have so many things and so many distractions and so many things that we try to take the place of what's really missing in our lives. And I got news for you. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy what's missing in my heart. Amen. And even after salvation, when we look at the cross and when we look at the means, that's the means of a deeper, intimate relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ. When we take a look at the cross, amen, we don't stop with the cross after salvation. Amen. And Paul didn't stop with the cross after his conversion and salvation. But we can read this and read Philippians 3:10 to know that the cross was continual in pursuing his relationship with Jesus Christ. When he says, I want to know him. You can stop and break that out from itself. I want to know him. Stop. I want to know him. That know him don't mean I want to know more about him. Amen. That know him don't mean I want to know what kind of car he drive. I want to know what he wear, what he look like, he's big, tall. You know that, brother. Amen. But I want to know him is a connotation that know talks about our intimate fellowship, a deeper love affair with Jesus Christ. And if we can back up to verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, those things were holding me back from this intimacy, from this love affair. And I had to cut some things. And sometimes in our lives, we have to cut some things. We have to get rid of. We got some channels. We got stations. I was looking at the TV the other day. We got like 800, 900 channels. And we got channels in. Premium channels and stuff we never watch. Amen. We've got to cut some things with these cell phones and with the internet and so many things. Our minds being on information overload. We've got to cut some things. And I was hearing a report the other day. They said even coming through this pandemic and how our kids were isolated for so long. Amen. That they've gotten attached to these social media devices and these Xboxes and these games that right now that these children can't look you in the eye and can't shake your hand and say, how you doing, sir? Because their minds are so inundated with so much stuff. And the enemy is there to just give them all these devices and all these access to the whole wide world is at their fingertips with these phones. And that's why they can be right across, sitting right across from the table with one another. Can't look at them and hold a decent conversation. But they'll text one another, what's up? How you doing? Amen. Why are you texting him? He's right there. Because the interpersonal relationship is gone. And we're being ingrained. We're plugged into these computers. And we're plugged into social media and all these other things. And I heard Minister Williams talk about it a couple weeks ago. And it becomes an attachment to us. And that when we go out the house without a cell phone, we feel naked. Or we feel lost. And we be doing them. Can you call my cell phone? I think it's on vibrate. Shh, shh, shh. Y'all be quiet. Shh. Bzz, bzz, bzz. There it go. Hey man, how in the world did we make it back in 1983 and 1984 where we didn't have all these things? If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, guess what? Leave a message. If the house is burning down, they'll come get you. Amen. They knew how. But we, guess what, y'all? We were better off. And they said coming through this pandemic, our kids are more depressed and more, listen, mental addiction, depression, anxiety,
HDTT.
Oh, Lord, I can't even say it right.
Listen, they said that these things are skyrocketing and going through the roof. All because of a lack of grounding and relationship with Jesus Christ. And I got news for you. It's not just in our children, but it's also in our adults. Amen. I'm not taking a...
Let me keep going.
Amen. Listen, and we talk about Paul. He said, those things that were gained to me, they were messing me up. He said, I counted them lost. Yea, doubtless, which means, yea, yes, indeed. Somebody say, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowing of the intimacy of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
You hear somebody having a conversation in the room, and I said, well, we know we took his cell phone. He don't have his cell phone right now. It's downstairs. But who is he having a conversation with?
My wife was like, shh, shh, you hear that?
My son was having a conversation with somebody.
And so I went in this room. I said, who are you talking to? He's talking to somebody through Xbox. Through Fortnite. Amen.
We got to get in our children's business. And guess what? I said, I ain't trying to be your friend right now. We got to get in this world, and sometimes you got to give these children a limit. Because guess what? Now, he was talking to his cousin. I'll say that. Thank God, right?
But who in the world can come into our children's rooms through this stuff? Predators, imposters, posing as somebody else.
And when you look at what's going on in America, this hacking and all this stuff, they hack the gas, the pipelines, and all these things, all these avenues.
The enemy has this technology at his disposal. And it's demonic and it's satanic.
Paul said, I'm leaving them things. I'm going for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ. Never once have I preached a funeral and said, man, this guy worked so many hours, or this person made a lot of money, or this person had a bunch of personal achievements. But during a going home service, the things that the Lord is looking at, he's not, when he calls us from labor to reward, you never see somebody who says at the end of their life, they got a day left to live. Boy, I wish I would have worked more hours at work. You never hear somebody say, boy, I wish I would have had more money in the bank, knowing you got 24 hours to live. That money don't mean anything. You've never once seen a U-Haul or moving truck follow a hearse to the gravesite, because none of that stuff you can take with them. And Paul, when he says, I count it loss, that word counted means he made assessment of what things were really important in his life. And sometimes, y'all, listen, we've got to go home and make an assessment. What are the things in my life that I can really stand to do without? We've got to make an assessment to say, Lord, what are the things that are separating me? Seriously, that's an accounting term. He stacked up the things that he had, and he stacked up the things that were for Christ. And the things that he had to count them all as dung. And he says, listen, and none of these things we work for and we live our lives for, and all these things, what we got to know is none of these things are translatable to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You can't take it with you. But my Bible says only what you do for who? For Jesus Christ is going to last. And guess what, y'all? There are things. I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation, holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. And when I get through working on this building,
I'm going to go up to get my reward. Amen. It's how we live as we come through the cross that Christ works through us. That's what counts. How I love my enemies, that's what counts. How I love my family, that's what counts. How I die to me, to myself, and my flesh, that Christ might work through us. Amen. That's what counts. Amen. Ephesians, I believe, chapter 1 says this. It says, chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings. In where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are rich in him. Amen. You don't want to be bankrupt in Jesus Christ, but we've got to be rich in Jesus. Amen. And those things, the Bible says, those things will follow us. Those riches will follow us. The fruit of the Spirit will follow us. Man, listen, I just love having the can't. I can't help myself but to love my enemies. Those things will follow you. Faith, peace, patience, long suffering, those things will follow you, y'all. And guess what? You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to redeem them. But even in this lifetime, the things that you're working on for the Lord will come into fruition for you in your life. Amen. In verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Amen. And through this assessment, we got to know people have so many things that they're depending on. People get money and they get a fat check from a lawsuit or something or whatever. Amen. And people change. And people hold on to this money like it's their, man, they put stock in what they have. They put stock in their IRAs and their 401s. And we put stock in so many achievements. Well. Or we put stock in our families. We put stock in so many other things. But my Bible says we're going to stand before our Maker. And we're going to have to give an account. Amen. And when the Bible says in Matthew 6:24, we talk about money, no man can serve two masters. For either what? He will hate one and love the other. Or else he will hold on to one and despise the other. The Bible says, no man, you can't serve God and mammon. And y'all know money changes people. Paul said, whatever state I'm in, I've learned how to be content. So whether I got $1 million in the bank or not, I got to be the same person. Some people come into some money, boy, they walk change. Amen. And you ever notice, I heard a brother talking about this. He said, you ever notice when you get paid? Amen. You got a bounce in your step. Ooh, I just got paid, brother. Go get your hair done. Go get your hair cut or whatever. You notice there's a feeling. There's a bounce in your step. There's a confidence that you have when you get paid or when your money show up that you don't normally have without it. And this is what they were doing. They were putting confidence in stuff. And you know, there's some people that think like that. Well, if all else fails, I got my money. Well, if all else fails, I got my job. I got these things. And Paul goes on to let them know, listen, he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. And what we find that so many people are looking to backfill the empty voids. So many people are looking to backfill empty hearts. So many people are looking to backfill things that happened in the house growing up. Hurt, abandonment, rejection. They're looking to backfill this stuff with stuff. Y'all, that's why we got to know who we are. And that's why we got to know who we have in Christ. There are young girls looking for the first thing selling to validate a missed assignment of a parent or a father that she didn't have growing up. There's so many young boys looking for the validation of an older drug dealer to make them feel like a part of the gang for a missed assignment in their life. I'm here to tell you, we've got to know. 1 Peter 1:9 says, "For we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation. We're set apart to show the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." Listen, church, Community Baptist, we are on a mission to be crucified with Christ. And once I'm crucified with Christ, we can preach and teach our young people. Listen, you got to know Jesus Christ loves you, that he cares for you. You don't need tattoos running all down your arm and all down your back. You don't need to dress provocatively to get somebody's attention. And this, guess what? And the devil creates, he creates this black hole, this centrifugal force in our hearts. And we seek the things of this world to try to feel something that only Jesus Christ can. Man, and I say I'm going to come up here and be calm and just preach and I get excited. Amen. I can't help it because there is an urgency. People got to know this love of Christ. Paul saw it. He was dumbfounded and he was confounded that through the cross, he said, "I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of the suffering, even to be made conformable to his very death." We got to know that we know that we know down on the inside how much Jesus Christ loved us, what he did for us, that we're stamped, we're sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We got to know. You don't need to run after that man. You don't need to run after that boy or that girl or that substance or that money. You got to know you got everything you need in Christ. We've got to know what we have. Amen. The peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The validation, thank God I know who I am in Jesus Christ. Guess what? Because I know who I am, guess what? Now I can walk with that same limp, brother. I got to stride in Jesus because that's me. You got to be who you are and what Christ has made you to be. Amen. We're the beloved of God. Turn back to Ephesians 1. I'm sorry. Take a station break real quick. Amen. It's all right. Somebody say it's all right. Amen. Long as it's the word. Amen. Listen, Ephesians 1. Me and Corey sat up and we watched the movie and the lady said, "Go back to this young girl and you study everything that Christ says you are. Study everything that he says you has." And the devil is trying to rip it out of our young girls. Amen. Listen, not only are we blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen him, you're chosen before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy without blame in him in love, having predestinated, amen, by unto the adoption of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, "To the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein you have made accepted in the beloved. And in verse 7 says, you have redemption. That's your homework. Amen. Y'all go home and y'all read it. See who Christ says you are. But when he says you're accepted in the beloved, that means you're validated. That means your heavenly Father has picked you up. And he's lavished his love on you. He's picked you up. He's took his hanky out of his pocket. Y'all remember grandfather used to have an old hanky. And he's picked you up and he's dried your tears. Amen. And he's told you you're loved. I think about the book of Ezekiel. Amen. When God told Israel where he redeemed her from. You were ripped out of the womb. You were left. You were in harlotry. You were in idolatry. You were beat, battered, and abused. And God lets the harlot, he lets this young girl know, but I redeemed you. I cleaned you up. I covered you. Amen. I loved you. Amen. You are the apple of my eye. No more running after the idols and other things and other people to tell you you're validated. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And marvelous are thy works. And the Bible says, and my soul knoweth right well. He says the thoughts, listen, when you think about somebody, the head over heels in love, guess what? You ought to be head over heels in love with Jesus Christ. He said, the thoughts that I have for you in Psalms 139 are more than the sand on the seashore. Yeah. Those are the thoughts. Amen. And so many people look to backfill that emptiness, backfill that hurt, backfill that pain with money, alcohol, sex. And some people backfill it with food. Amen. Amen. Some people's their eating is their comfort. Amen. But the Bible says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah 17:5, you can't turn there, just write it down, says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. It says, for he shall be like a heath in the desert, meaning that he's just going to be empty when the famine comes and when the drought comes, and he's going to shrivel up. And I'm telling you, man, my heart goes out for these young people. It does. It goes out for them. And you see them looking for attention. And it's like, somebody's going to pay me some attention. And my wife, we go out. And I see a young man with his pants hanging way down. That happened more than once. It keeps happening. And my wife be like, no, don't go up to him. But y'all know I can't help it. Amen. And I just go up and begin to talk to him, not beating him up. Say, how you doing? What's your name? And just talk to them. And we listen, that's what we got to do. We've got to love on people. Listen, don't speak Christianese to them. Well, praise the Lord, brother. Brother got an arm full of tattoos and his head pants hanging way down. Well, praise the Lord and all this, and start talking Christianese. They can't understand that. Wait, listen, you've got to be able to look in their eyes and be who you are to them. You start telling them, well, I love you. And they can be like, well, you say you love me. You don't even know me. Don't scare them away. Somebody say, don't scare him away. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. Don't scare him away. Amen. And don't just walk away either. Don't just walk past him. But even if the Lord just lay on your heart, pray for him. Amen. We've got to love our young people, y'all. And they've got to see Christ living in us. says when the desert comes, when the famine comes, they shall, when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and salt and land, and not inhabit it. In verse 7 of Jeremiah chapter 17 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as the tree planted, where? By the waters, that what? Spreadeth out her roots in the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And back in our text, in verse 3, Philippians 3:3 says, but we are the circumcision of Jesus Christ, which we worship God in the Spirit, and we rejoice in Jesus Christ. And guess what? We have no confidence in the flesh. That means we put no stock in our flesh. That means we put no stock in something else to try to sustain. And I know I keep mentioning it, but there's a satanic problem in America that you can bet and gamble on anything. And now they're saying, we'll match you $1,000 if you sign up. I done messed somebody's trip up the parks after church. We'll give you $1,000. And I said, Jesus, help us. If that ain't enticing, I don't know what it is. But the key is they're going to match you $1,000. You got to put up $1,000, and they'll give you $1,000. And guess what? The odds are against you. Legalizing marijuana. And now everybody's saying they got a weed card. Amen. Everybody, oh, you know. How are you 25 talking about you got cataracts? Amen. Listen, all drugs are spirit. And the problem with marijuana, it's a door-opening hallucinogen. And it opens you up for more powerful, deeper, more drugs, more things to feel something that only Christ can. Amen. Bible says, be not ignorant of what? Satan's devices. For he's a lying, seeking whom he may devour. We've got to know it. Amen. And we talk about when he says, for we worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Christ's purpose was to do the will of the Father. Christ's means was the cross. And the end result was to redeem man to a love relationship with a holy God. Amen. His purpose was the will of the Father. His means was the cross. And so guess what? That's got to be our means. Amen. Back in our text in Philippians 3:10, when he says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. In the resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, to be made conformable to his death. This resurrection power is the end result. Y'all know that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This resurrection power is the end result. We've got to walk around. We're the crucified of Christ. We no longer live in the flesh. Amen. And the execution of my flesh is the end result through the resurrection. The crucifixion of my old man. Giving folks a piece of my mind. Is the end result. Me handling things my way and the way I want to handle it. And man, boy, we can't take somebody getting an attitude with us without a comeback. And I'm telling you, we've been going through some stuff in my house, not crazy, but even with my kids and their sports and in their schools and their academics. And me and my wife be like, listen, boy, if we wasn't saved, I would call this teacher up and give this person a piece of my mind. And I'll be joking. I'll be like, now, Caleb, I ain't going to let your mom go up there and flatten this man's tires. It's a joke. Amen. But listen, what we got to do, we got to go back and give these things to the Lord. You can't handle it. Amen. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, that ye should not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because guess what, y'all? I feel him. The old man wants his space back. The old man wants his place. And guess what? Y'all, just picture me standing right here, right? In this pulpit. The old man is standing behind me like, just let me. When you're going through something on your job, right? That old man is speaking to you. Brother, let me handle this, Randy. You too nice, Randy. I got this, bro. I got your old man talk. Yo, anybody your old man ever talk to you? I guess I'm the only one, right? Your old man wants to come out. Amen. Break the box in the case of emergency. And somebody said, Lord, forgive me for the things I'm about to do. But guess what? The end result is for the old man to be crucified, to know that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who? Christ now lives in me. We can't respond out of us. And I had somebody say to me, brother, listen, you can't fight that game just being nice. The only language they know is these hands. Amen. And we think we got to get back with them. We don't have to get back. The Bible says peace is, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. We've got to give it to him. We've got to live a life above. We've got to live a co-crucified life, an exchange life. That when you're high on love and you've crucified this old man, you've put him to death. You've put him to bed. Now Christ is living through us. Amen. I got a couple points and we're going to be out your way. Amen. It's just now 12. It's just now lunchtime. Amen. We get out early now. Amen. Listen, the first thing we had, first point is, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be a partaker of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a privilege to be a partaker. It's a privilege of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a privilege. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. And when Paul says, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, that's really backwards, because the end result is the resurrection power. But we have to go through the process of suffering. When Christ died on the cross, he suffered first. He suffered. They beat him. They whipped him. They mocked him. They led him from judgment hall to judgment hall. He was beat beyond all recognition. He suffered in the flesh. And not only that, he suffered in the spirit. He suffered in the soul. So it goes beyond the physical. And it goes to the soulical, where Jesus Christ said to the Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The suffering in the physical was one thing, but he suffered mentally. He suffered. He know what it feels like to be touched with depression. He know what it feels like to be touched with anguish and rejection and being left alone. He knows what it feels like. And guess what? We're partakers of the suffering of Jesus Christ. He knows what the Bible says. We have not a high priest. In Hebrews chapter 4, I believe somewhere around 10 or 11, we have not a high priest who can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points, somebody say all points. All points, he was tempted as were we, yet without sin. Do y'all know what that means? There's nothing we can go through that Christ does not sympathize. Amen. That's why Pastor Wright could start an addiction class when freebase and cocaine came out and so many people be delivered. Because you got to let them know how much Christ loved them. And that he's willing. You can come unto me, all ye that labor and have heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And what? Learn of me. He's a burden bearer. Heavy load sharer. He's a heart fixer. And he's a mind regulator. He's a will in the riddle of a will. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come into the Father except by me. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're what? Mighty. Somebody say mighty. Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We have counseling. You don't need all that Prozac and Xanax. And St. Ives and liquor, whatever your dependency is, just to get the mind right, you don't need it. Jesus will fix it. I'm so glad that I know. When I was in trouble, he brought me over. Amen. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody deliver you like Jesus. Can't nobody pick you up, turn you around. Can't nobody deliver you. He is a deliverer. Dr. Jesus. Dr. Jesus. He is my friend. I'm so serious. There's no problem too hard that he can't fix it. Somebody say, should have lost my mind. But guess what? He stepped in right on time. And y'all know mental, or what we call this month. This month is called what? Mental awareness? Month. Guess what? So many of us would be on straitjackets right now. Y'all know that? But it's the grace of God that's keeping us. Listen, I'm not better because I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I'm no better. I should be in that mental wars. But he's my keeper. He's my doctor. And he writes out all of my medicine. He gives me all of my prescriptions. In the room. Amen. We got to bring that one back. He's a keeper if you want to be kept. He's a healer if you want to be healed. He is that burden bearer. Let me just keep on going. The second point is, I'm going to be out your way. It says, when you're going through suffering, find the fellowship in it. Find the fellowship in it. And I went through this week. Just going through this week. People say they want to do this and want to do that and want, you're going to suffer. In this life you shall have tribulation. But Jesus said what? Be of good cheer. For I have what? Already overcome the world. The world. Amen. You're going to suffer. And when you're going through the suffer, don't squirm and move and look for every out. We look for every out to get out of it. But guess what? What I'm learning is we got to look for the fellowship in the suffering. Come on. Hallelujah. Look for the river. Somebody say, just put in parentheses, look for the river. Look for the river in the middle of the suffering. When David said, it was good for me that I had been what? Afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. 1 Peter 4:13 says, beloved. First he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. But what? Somebody say, rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in as much as you are what? Partakers of Christ's suffering. Y'all, I don't have this thing down packed. And they say, oh, brother, you got to get low and watch your tone and watch your pitch and ooh, and all that. I don't have it down packed. I can't. I'm like a kid in a candy store. That's why I get excited. That's why I lose it up here. God has been so good to me. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me, my soul had cries out, hallelujah. Amen. He says, but rejoice in as much you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. I'm going to give that scripture again. That's 1 Peter 4:13. Write it down. With exceeding joy. Verse 14 says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, that the spirit of the glory of God rests upon it. That means when I'm going through, Paul said, I prayed 3 times that this thorn may be removed. But he didn't take it away. But he answered Paul. He said, my grace is what? Sufficient. Most gladly, therefore, will I boast in my infirmities. That what? Oh. Y'all say power. That the power of Christ might rest upon me. Y'all, that's fellowship in suffering. That's fellowship. Look for the fellowship in the suffering. Look for the river. Psalm 46, and Minister Williams was dealing with this in Bible study. For God is our refuge. Psalm 46. And strength. He's a very present help. Where? In the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. He says, there is a river, the streams whereof, that shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her. And right early, the heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. And what desolation hath made the earth? He maketh wars to cease. And the end of the earth, he breaketh the bow, and he cutteth the spear in sunder, and he burneth the chariot in fire. But then he says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathens, and I will be exalted in the earth. There is a river. There is a fountain. The song says, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There is a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flow from Calvary's mouth. I'm almost done. Listen, y'all, listen, hear me. When we leave out of this place, when you go through various trials and temptations, and you feel like it's only you going through it, look for the fellowship. In it. Look for the fellowship in it. When Martha and Mary lost Lazarus. Jesus came by. And he saw them in their tears and in their pain. And I don't know what you're going through, and I'm not trying to get in touch with a familiar spirit. But it's Jesus Christ that the Bible says Jesus wept. And then it went a little farther in another verse, and it says in John chapter 12, Jesus groaned in the spirit. Three different times. And listen, Jesus Christ knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. So my fat thing is, why did he cry? For the fellowship. To be in touch with your pain. To be in touch with what you're going through. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. There's fellowship in suffering. And the last one is not only find the fellowship in it, but find the correction in it. Amen. 1 Peter 4:1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Proverbs 3:11, which Hebrews takes the same thing in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, my son, my daughter, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For the Lord, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even as a father, and the son, whom he delights. So when Paul says, I want to know him, to get to the power of his resurrection, we've got to go through the fellowship of suffering. Find the river. And find correction. And I'm going to leave you with this. We all know this passage, Psalms 23. Psalms 23 says this. Hey, amen. Man, look, this is good to me. Guess what, y'all? I need this word. I need that fellowship. In that fountain. Amen. The stream and the river that talks about in Revelation chapter 22. And he said, the angel of the Lord showed me a river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the middle of the main streets of the city, on either side of the river, stood a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit and yielding a fresh crop each month, and the leaves and the trees are healing for the nations. No longer will there be any curse. For the throne of God and the Lamb will, within the city of his servants, will worship him. And his face they shall see, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night in the city, and they will have no more need for the light of the lamp of the sun, for the Lord God will shine upon them, and they will reign forever. Psalms 23, David says, as we stand to our feet, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the what? Listen, y'all. He restoreth my soul for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the what? Valley of the what? Shadow of death. I will fear no evil. And so many times we hear that in a funeral and we want to jump right to that verse. We want to skip the green pastures. But it's the still water. It's the still water. It's the fellowship. In the middle of my suffering. It's the partaking of Jesus Christ in the middle of it. That he meets me there. And he validates me. And he rocks me. And he loves me. You can't buy that in the world. Dr. Phil can't give it to you. Oprah Winfrey can't give it to you. Dr. Oz or Dr. Rock can't give you a prescription to meet you in that place. Whatever you're going through, stop holding on to it. It could be your children. It could be your job. It could be a medical condition. It could be worry. It could be doubt. Look for the fellowship. Look for the river. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord, in the word of God. And in his law, do he what? Meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Like a tree. That's what? Planted. Where? By the rivers of the water. There's something in the water. There's healing in the water. There's deliverance in the water. Y'all know why? Because Jesus is in the water. When you know that you know that you know that you got Christ on the inside. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. Why he came to rock me. Why he came to rock me. But I'm so glad. So glad. And he's in touch. If there's somebody here. I know I went over. I know I did. But if there's somebody. And you're lacking this fellowship. And you need to get a closer walk of restoration with Jesus Christ. You can come right now. First call is to somebody that may not know Jesus Christ. I love the water, amen. I don't go on the water a whole lot. I'm supposed to go deep sea fishing this week. But there's something about the water. Now, when you get there, it's peaceful. And if there's somebody that does not know Jesus Christ, you want to give your heart to him, don't wait. There is a hell and there is a lake of fire. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one that would like to come for restoration? Because of broken fellowship. And you need restoration back to look to the Lord. That's the second call. You can also come and get it right with Jesus Christ. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Broken fellowship. Is there one? Amen. Next call is for prayer. Those that would like to come up around the altar as we close. For a word of prayer, you can also come at this time.